Blog Talk Radio.
Defending conservative values and the Constitution of the United States. You're about to be on the Sig Knowledge Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Duty, honor, country.
Welcome back to the Sig Knowledge Show right here on Blog Talk Radio on the New Colony Network. Glad to have you with us this week. My caller from the 310, glad to see you're in the queue there. Glad to see you're listening to the show there because we've got something really important we're going to talk about today. Folks, this is my fourth show on something called Jade Helm 15. Now, for anyone who hasn't heard the three previous shows on Jade Helm, what Jade Helm 15 is a massive, and I do mean massive, U.S. military special forces exercise that's going to be held from July 15th to September 15th of this year. However, current intel gives the impression that Jade Helm is already underway. Now, what Jade Helm is a special forces exercise wherein thousands and literally thousands of special forces troops. This would be Navy SEALs, Green Berets, Airborne Rangers, Marine Recon, Army Delta, you name it, along with federal agencies such as the FBI, the DEA, and others, DHS, will be involved in what they call terrain training. In other words, where they're going to be training on various different types of terrain for possible future use in land elsewhere abroad in the world. Now, to a lot of people that know anything, and to anybody that uses their common sense, knows that this smells like horse doo-doo. And there's a lot of speculation that these military training exercises, and especially one of this unprecedented scale, is actually their training for a imminent martial law setting. And I've also said with other hosts that we believe that what we think is actually happening here is that the U.S. military, you know, those guys are just like us. They like their Second Amendment rights too, and that they have no intentions of firing on Americans. However, we also discussed how there are foreign troops on U.S. soil right now, specifically Russian. Now, they would have no problem firing on U.S. troops. But tonight, we're going to be talking about Jade Helm Part 4. And since the last show on Jade Helm, there's been a couple of new wrinkles that have been thrown into this. Recently, Governor Abbott of Texas, that's Governor Greg Abbott. Now, a lot of you may or may not know who this man is. He took over. He succeeded Governor Rick Perry. Now, Greg Abbott is kind of unique as far as a governor is concerned because he happens to be in a wheelchair. And this is something that the Democrats and the liberals tried to exploit to their own demise when this chick down there, I forgot her name, Wendy something, she ran against Greg Abbott. in this gubernatorial race. And her remarks or demeaning remarks about a man in a wheelchair, well, it didn't get her any points with the people in the state of Texas. Let me just put it that way. And it shouldn't have gotten her any points with anybody in the United States. So now, having said that, Governor Abbott of Texas took a move to Jade Helm and the repeated response of concerned citizens all over the state of Texas. And I would like to see this happen all over the United States. I'd like to see governors taking action in response to the repeated objections of their constituents. On April the 30th, this is last April the 30th, Governor Abbott ordered the Texas State Guard to monitor the upcoming military training in the state to protect residents and property. Now, you're probably saying, Sig, who is the Texas State Guard? Well, you know, that's a good question, and I'm going to answer that for you. But first, I'm going to say hello to one of my guests there in the chat room, and glad they joined us today. I'm glad they're listening. Glad to have you with us in the show today. He ordered the Texas State Guard. Well, the State Guard is a state defense force. And this is a defense force that is paid for wholly and solely by the state, whichever state that's in. Not every state has one, although they are able to, but not every state has one. At current, I believe, there are 21 states that have active state defense forces. Now, these state defense forces are a military force. What they are uncompensated state employees until they're called up. And state defense forces are commanded by the governor of the state, whoever that governor happens to be, man or woman, liberal or a Democrat or Republican. But the state defense forces are under the command of the governor of that state. They do not belong to the federal government. So do not confuse them with the Army National Guard. The Army National Guard is a federal entity. That means follow the money. That means that the National Guard gets money from the federal government. So, okay, hang on just a second, folks. Got a little call Coleman in here on Skype. I'm going to have to... is from my friend Wolfpack over there on Hayward Gulch Patriot Radio. So, well, let's just see what he's doing. Let's see if we can find out what's going on with him. This is the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio on the New Colony Network. And we're going to see if we can get a hold of him and see what he's doing. Well, if not, well, we'll just find out. Anyway, folks, what this is...
What's going on, brother?
Well, you tried calling me. What's up?
Oh, not much. You on the air? Yeah, I'm done. Just figured I'd let you and your guests know I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done trying to wake up Americans. I'm done trying to educate them.
Okay. Well,
I'm done with this. I'm done with all this crap, you know.
You're not going to be on Haywire anymore?
No, nope, I'm not. I'm not doing any more shows. I'm not.
Okay.
It's just I'm wasting my time.
Well, something had to happen, you know, for you to make this unprecedented move here.
I mean, I've been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing the radio for 4 years.
Well,
and I'm just tired of trying to wake people up and get them to see, and now we got ISIS attacking people in freaking Texas, of all places.
Well, I was going to mention that. Well, what I'm doing the show on tonight, you know, I'm doing more on Jade Helm and how Governor Abbott ordered the Texas State Guard. And, by the way, you know, as far as state defense forces, Oklahoma has one. It's just inactive.
And well, no, the OKDF is active.
No. This is the state defense forces. I'm delineating what that is. There are 21 states that have an active state defense force, and these are forces that are paid for wholly and solely by the state and are commanded by the governor of the state. And I was also going to drop back, you know, with the shows about the militia and how the six classes are. Well, yeah. See, they fall into category number two. So I was fixing to get into that, you know, when you was trying to call. And I was going to put that in there so everybody could clearly understand what a state defense force is pursuant to federal code. In this case, it's 10 U.S.C. 109. But,
yeah,
you know, so, but, well, Wolf Brother, did you think maybe you just need to take a rest from it for a while?
Well, you know, that may be just it, that I need to take a break because, you know, it's the same people listening every night.
Yeah.
You know, I have the same core group of people, and I'm preaching to the choir.
Well, then, you know, can I make a suggestion?
I think it might be time to change the venue and,
well, come
you
back,
know.
Come back to New Colony.
I might, as long as they're not involved with that Wild Card Command crap.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God, no. Because if that happened, I would be the first one out of here. Look, I've already challenged Wildcard Command to come on to this show.
Yeah.
And edumacate them.
Well, I tell you, brother, it's, you know, things are going, they're happening rather fast-paced right now.
Yes, they are. Well,
and I really can't see wasting time trying to educate people that should have already been very well educated.
Yeah. Folks, in case you don't know who this is my friend Wolfpack. He's a host on Haywire Gulch Patriot Radio. And, well, he was giving me a courtesy call to let me know that he's about to throw in the towel, but here's what my suggestion is going to be to him. Step back, take a break from it, and I will talk to you-know-who at New Colony. And you want to come back in? I'm sure she'd love to have you back in.
Yeah, I got no problem with that, but I'm taking the week off.
Oh, I don't blame you. Take 2 weeks off if you have to.
You know, I'm going to let you know, I'm doing this thing called Feeding Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Where I involve vets in hunting experiences and the food that we kill, the animals that we kill for the experience gets donated to families and veterans' families who can't afford to put meat on the table.
Well, you know what? That's an honorable and noble effort there.
You know,
I'm all
it, that. Yeah, it's just, I'm trying to do that, trying to do the radio show, trying to get research done, trying to get the property in order, you know, to put cattle on. And, you know, if anybody knows anything about, you know, cattle farming or just even having cattle, it's a big deal.
Oh, that's a full-time job.
Property ready,
that's
you know.
Time job. In fact, past full time. It's full time and a half.
Yeah.
You know, well, like I said, brother, if you have to step back, take 2 weeks off. Get some rest. You know?
Yeah.
Get a perspective on it. Maybe you need to come back to Blog Talk to a wider audience.
You know, it's not just the audience, because the people that that listen are really good friends.
Yeah.
Some of them are personal friends, like I live right down the street from them.
Yeah, well,
I just think that in this Patriot movement, you know, there's too many people, including myself, that focus on the negative and not the positive. And sometimes I do focus on the negative and not the positive.
Yeah.
But we need to unite in this country. The time it's well past time.
Oh yeah,
we're at the too late stage.
Yeah.
When we start having terrorist attacks at, you know, Pamela Geller's little event in Garland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was just a probing exercise to see how they can get away with it.
Well,
and
they
how
did.
They could do it.
They got,
I mean, it's going to be. We got so many things going on in this country right now that it's going to take. Well, people wanted to know what it was going to take to wake America up. The other, last night and the other night should have been more than enough to wake America up to say that this Muslim threat is real.
Well, the only person that doesn't think it's real is Barack Obama and the libtards.
Well, right now, Thomas, you kick that cage one more time, I'm going to kick you.
All right. Well, bro, I'll tell you what.
I got to go. I need to relax. But
okay, tell you what. You want me to have the producer call you?
Yeah, have her give me a call on myself.
Okay.
She has that.
All right, buddy. Hey, man, the Patriot Movement needs you, brother. We need you. I need you on the air, too. So, you know, brother, just take a couple of weeks off, step back, clear your head. It's going to be all right.
I think that's what I'm going to do.
That's what you're going to do, bro. Don't throw in a towel yet. Just redeploy. No, don't surrender. Just redeploy the troops, okay?
Well, yeah, right now it needs to stop. Right now
okay.
It needs to stop. And the, you know, I've got a sick wife I got to focus on. I've got family I got to focus on. So I'm going to take a week or two, and I'm going to focus on them, and then I'll make a decision after that.
Okay. Well, I'll have the chief call you.
All righty, brother.
All righty, brother. God bless you over there.
You have a good show. Yep, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, that was my friend Wolfpack over there in Hayward Gulch, Patriot Radio on HaywardGulch.com. I can understand his sentiment. You know, he's getting a little burnt out on it because, you know, sometimes it's like preaching to the choir. But trust me, he'll be back on the air. Trust. He's a good man, and we need him in the movement. So anyway, Governor Abbott has the Texas State Defense Force called up to monitor the U.S. military forces that are involved in Jade Helm. Now, you're wondering what a state defense force is. Well, that's a good question. A state defense force, which is also known, abbreviation SDF, also known as state guards, state military reserves, or state militias, there's that word again, militia, in the United States are military units that operate under the sole authority of a state government, i.e. governor, state legislature. They are partially regulated by the National Guard Bureau, but they are not part of the Army National Guard of the United States. State defense forces are authorized by state and federal law and are under the command of the governor of each state. Now, further, state defense forces are distinct from their state's National Guard, and they cannot become federal entities. All state National Guard personnel, to include the National Guard of the D.C. and Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and the territories of Guam and the Virgin Islands, can be federalized under the National Defense Act of 1933 with the creation of the National Guard of the United States. This provides the basis for integrating units of personnel of the Army National Guard in the U.S. and since 1947, units of personnel of the Air National Guard into the U.S. Air Force. Now, what that means is follow the money. Where does the money come from? State defense forces are subsidized wholly and solely by the state. Therefore, they can't become federal entities. They belong to the states, just like the unorganized militia is sovereign to the states and the people. Now, I'm going to have to go back a little bit here, folks, to make you understand where the state defense force falls into the scheme of things. I've did several shows concerning what the militia is and what it isn't. And per one of the founding fathers of the country, by a man by the name of George Mason, when he was asked, you know, what is the militia? Well, he said, basically, the militia is the people. But there's actually six classes of armed bodies. When we talked about armed militias, you know, armed units, there's six different classes of it, and I'm going to go through this quickly here so you'll understand where a state defense force falls in line with this. So, and my caller from the 323, I want to thank you for calling in. My caller, there's a caller there in the 804 right there in the queue that's listening to the show. Thank you for listening to the show, 804. Glad to have you in the show. So I'm gonna refresh your memory on this, and this would be really interesting for anybody that hasn't heard this before, which is hard for me to believe since I've did this show so many times on this specific subject here. The hierarchy of the classes of the militia. Now, number one, first and foremost, is a no-brainer. This is the national military. That includes the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, the part-time reserves, and the National Guard. Now, the second class of the militia is what's called state and select militia, select local militias. But they're not general militias in that they're paid for and equipped by state and local governments. They come from the people, the whole of the people, but they don't comprise the whole of the people. This would include full-time state and local law enforcement officers and part-time state guards. Now, when I say state and local law enforcement officers, what does that ring a bell to you? What does that say to your head right there? Something that's paid for by state and local law, state and local entities. Let's see, state and local law enforcement officers. What would that be? State police, your county sheriff's department, the municipal police of bigger cities. Yes, that's right, folks. Those are, in fact, what's called a select militia. They come from the whole of the people, but they don't comprise the whole of the people in that they have very strict vetting processes. Not just any Joe Blow can go up there and say, I want to be a deputy sheriff, or I want to be a local policeman, or I want to be a state police. Much the same as state guards. There is a strict background vetting process. They have physical requirements, age requirements, mental requirements, and strict background checks, far beyond what they would do for most normal jobs. So now you understand where the state defense forces fall into this hierarchy. And then third, you have your obligatory militia. These are able-bodied male citizens of a certain age range who are required to be kept and organized and trained, but at their own expense, i.e., in the manner of the Minutemen back in the day. Age range is usually around 18 to 44 for federal purposes, but states may establish other age ranges. In fact, I think the state of Louisiana, theirs is from 18 to 64. After that, number four is the volunteer militia. Citizens that are not part of the obligatory militia who voluntarily participate in activities of the obligatory militia, again, at their own expense. Number five is the ready militia. It's the combination of the obligatory and volunteer militia who would be called up after the armed forces and the regular militia, but who are also those likely to be first on the scene in an emergency situation. It is not a select militia. The ready militia, when we talk about the unorganized militia, this is what we're talking about. And number six, the reserve militia. These are all other citizens, including children, the elderly, the less abled, and women, and perhaps foreign visitors as well, who might be called up after the ready militia if so needed. So now, where does the state defense fall in? It falls into category number two, the state and local select militias, because they are paid wholly and solely by state and local governments. So now, you understand what a state defense force. Now, Governor Abbott of Texas has took a move that, in given today's political climate and the onset of Jade Helm, has ordered his state defense force, which is the Texas State Guard, up to monitor the military personnel that will be involved in Jade Helm 15. Now, you may want to go back and download the first three shows I did on Jade Helm. And on those, some of those show pages, there are links. It will show you the map that the Army has posted concerning Jade Helm. But basically, the entire state of Texas and the entire state of Utah and the southern three counties of California are labeled as hostile. Well, the people of Texas didn't like that very much. And they finally got the governor's ear. They want something done. They want some action. So now Governor Abbott has ordered the Texas State Defense Force. And they are not subject to federal call-up pursuant to the Dick Act of 1903, which actually never went into effect. So the Texas State Guard, basically, it is the Texas militia that is paid for by the state. In other words, the Army of the State of Texas. And don't make light of this, folks, because the Texas State Guard is, it's big. At last, I think it was about 10 or 11 regiments. So it is quite a sizable force. So now they're going to be bird-dogging the U.S. military forces that are involved in Jade Helm. Once again, just to remind you, Jade Helm is a special forces exercise from coast to coast, from Florida to Southern California, all special forces troops and their support units. We're talking about Green Berets, Army Delta, Marine Recon, Navy SEALs, Air Force Pararescue, and then you've got the other federal agencies that are involved, our alphabet agencies, the DHS, the FBI, the ATF. Shall I go on? You get the picture about it. So now, that's the biggest wrinkle that has happened with Jade Helm since the last show. That now Governor Abbott has called up the Texas State Guard to monitor him. Okay, so now the training exercise will be, okay, they're going to be conducting this on private lands out there. And this is why state and local law enforcements like county sheriff's department, municipal police departments, and so on, are also involved in this, because some people see this as a threat. And the United States military would be well advised to understand and appreciate the fact that the militias, especially in Texas, they are rising up and they are organizing, and I can guarantee you it's going to be more than the Texas State Guard that's monitoring the military. The militias are going to be watching them guys like a hawk, because the fact of the matter is that the militia, the unorganized militia, Category 5 of that, which I just explained to you, they have a lot of veterans embedded in them. The Iraq War, Afghanistan, some of them from the first Gulf War. There are a lot of veterans that are in the militia groups. As such, their skills and abilities that they had in the U.S. military, they still have them, and now they're passing that knowledge and information on to people who don't, i.e. men in the militia. That is a huge problem for Barack Obama and his administration and all of his little lackeys there in Washington, D.C. So now, I've told you briefly about the militias, the six classes of the hierarchy of the militia, and what a state defense force is. Now, the state defense force is not unique to the state of Texas. In fact, there are 21 states that have active state defense forces. As of 2005, the DOD, the Department of Defense, reported 23 active state defense forces in the United States and Puerto Rico. Since this time, New Jersey has suspended its state defense force. Per National Guard Regulation 10-4, any state, territory, or District of Columbia that creates a state defense force under Title 32 U.S.C. 109 is solely responsible for the establishment, organization, training, equipping, funding, management, and employment of the SDF in accordance with its laws. What that means is that a state is free to do that. They're free to have their own state defense force. But guess what? They're going to pony up for it. Don't expect any federal dollars. Well, that's fine. Oh, by the way, everybody out here in the state of California, or would you be interested to know that California has its own state defense force? That's right, people. Under the direct command of Governor Jerry Brown, Mr. Governor Moonbeam, California has one. And a little bit later on the show, I'll get more specific about which states have them. Some states have just a Army part of it, some of them have just a Naval part of it, and some of them have both. So there, that's what a state defense force is. Now, you ask yourself, okay, why did the governor do this? Well, quite frankly, he listened to the voice of the people. All over the state of Texas and all over the state of Utah, people are going into courtrooms, they are going to their county sheriff's office, their municipal police chief's office, voicing their grave concern over Jade Helm 15. Now, eventually, now apparently in the state of Texas, it's got all the way to Austin, to the Capitol, to the governor's office. He has listened to the people. He is acting. Now, how this is going to really play out remains to be seen. But the State Defense Force of Texas, the Texas State Guard, is now activated, and now they will be on the job. By the way, they will be armed. That's right. They will have live rounds for those weapons. Because you see, a rifle without any ammunition is called a stick. And obviously, Governor Abbott understands that. So now, there's a new wrinkle for the federal government and President Barack Obama. The state of Texas ain't putting up with this crap. You're going to do these exercises? Fine. But guess what? We're going to be watching you and watching you very, very closely. In fact, they're going to be watched from the standpoint is that we're going to be armed. And if you even look like you're going to get out of line and start taking liberties with people's rights under the Constitution, there's going to be a problem. Now, folks, I don't want you to make light of this. Now, if you listen to the liberal mainstream media, that's if they, assuming that they even mention it, because we all know that they'll do anything to insulate President Obama from any appearance of impropriety. This is a matter of critical importance to all of us, because this is our very liberty at stake. What's going on? It's either that, or the federal government knows something that they're not telling the people. Now, I understand that there are certain things that are classified for the simple reason of national security. But when you do a military exercise of this scale, coast to coast, along the Gulf Coast, through Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, into Southern California, then that should throw up a red flag to everyone. As I've said in my earlier shows on Jade Helm, that it's funny to me that all of these exercises that are being done in Jade Helm, the states that they're being done in, are all states that overwhelmingly voted against Barack Obama. Because if you'll look at the map for Jade Helm, you will not see any of these exercises being done in the New England states, up around New York, Pennsylvania, up in the Ohio River Valley, even the Midwest. You don't see it being done there. Why? Why ain't it being done in Washington State and Oregon? You'll notice that states that went heavily for Barack Obama are not involved in this. That should throw up a big red flag to you. At the very minimum, it should make you lift an eyebrow. Like, well, state of Texas being listed as hostile. Now, according to the Army, they're doing this, they say, quote-unquote, terrain training. Now, granted that Texas is big enough to where, on the far east, it's piney woods and swamps, and all the way out at El Paso in the west, it's mountains and desert. And you got everything in between. Grasslands, prairies, rolling hills, the Cap Rock, the Edwards Plateau. You've got all different kinds of terrains in Texas. That much makes sense. But to label the entire state in its entirety as hostile territory, that's not going to fly. And it's not flying with the people of the state of Texas, and it shouldn't fly for anybody in this country. How many times have I said on this show, make it your business to find out what the U.S. government is doing behind your back and what they're doing in your name? It's critical because the people in Washington need to be reminded of something. We, the people, are the country. We are the government. We are the ones that ultimately have the final yay or nay. They don't do what we want. They don't do things to our satisfaction. There's a remedy for it. It's called your vote. They can be replaced. The people in Washington, regardless of party, can be replaced. Now, Governor Abbott calls up the Texas State Defense Force. Now, nearly every state has laws authorizing the State Defense Force, and 22 states, plus the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, they have them. They have what's called SDF, State Defense Forces, with different levels of activity, support, and strengths. In other words, the State Defense Forces, by state on a state-by-state basis, they have different levels of activity. Some are much more active than others. Some are going to be bigger than others, i.e., in this case, Texas. All right, Texas is the second biggest state. in the United States. It is also the biggest of the continental 48 states. So, and most state defense forces, they're organized as Army units, but air and naval units also exist in them. And the governors often use state defense forces to augment their state's Army National Guard, which is a federal entity, and the Air National Guard unit. State defense forces have both been both officially and informally called National Guard Reserves. Now, I'm not sure I'll agree with that, but that's what they say. Now, you're wondering, okay, is it true that the federal government doesn't have any control of the state defense force? No, they don't. They don't. The U.S. Constitution, coupled with several statutes and cases, detail the relationship of the state defense forces to the federal government. Outside of Title 32 of the United States Code, Section 109, the U.S. Supreme Court noted, it is true that state defense forces may not be called, ordered, and drafted into the armed forces. In other words, the president just can't draft them. 32 U.S.C. 109C, it is nonetheless possible that they are subject to call up under 10 U.S.C. 331 through 333, which distinguished the militia from the armed force. But the courts, however, explicitly noted that it was not deciding the issue. In other words, the courts are not deciding this issue. Why? Because these state defense forces, just like the unorganized militia, are sovereign to the states and the people of that state. So even the Supreme Court is saying they're not going to decide this issue. Now, you could just bet your sweet bippy that the federal government would love to have control over this, but guess what? They don't. They belong to the states and the people of that state. In this case, where I'm talking from in Los Angeles, California, the California State Defense Reserve, the California State Guard, belongs to the people of the state of California. And it is under the command of the governor of the state of California, which at the current time is Jerry Brown. That's something the federal government can't get their grubby hands on. So, like I said, and there are 21 states with active state defense forces. And the Supreme Court has took a pass on this one. They're not going to decide this. This is a states' rights versus federal rights issue. And to date, the states have won because they belong to the states and the people of that state. So now you're wondering, how does the unorganized militia factor into all of this? Well, let's go back to the hierarchy of classes, which is number five, the ready militia, the combination of the obligatory and voluntary militia, who would be called up after the armed forces and the regular militia, but who are also likely to be the first on the scene in an emergency situation, and it's not a select militia. So now, how does the unorganized militia fall into this? Well, guess what? Since the unorganized militia is the people, the body of the people. See, a state defense force comes from the whole of the people, in other words, citizens of that state, but they do not comprise the whole of the citizenry. Because to be in a state defense force, just like being in a sheriff's department or a police department, they have a very strict vetting process that they have to go through. There are strict requirements of who can and who can't, who can get in and who can't get in. With the militia, quite frankly, is the people. You see the difference now, folks? Now I'm sure you're seeing the difference. How does the militia factor into all of this? Well, Governor Abbott has already invoked his authority to order the Texas State Guard up to active status now to monitor the U.S., the federal military forces that are going to be involved in Jade Helm. I'm sure this is something that Washington, D.C. didn't plan on. They didn't think that a governor would have the gumption and the courage to use their authority in their state to call up their special state defense forces in a response to the federal government and the federal military. The plot thickens, folks. You know, if you were sitting looking at this like a board game, you'd get a little bit excited. Like now, there's a new player in the game. I'm sure this is a player that President Obama and his talking heads there and his administration didn't expect to come into the game. They didn't expect this factor into the equation. And man, does it ever change the equation. Because now, with a state defense force involved now, in this case, the Texas State Guard, some of those guys are ex-U.S. military, Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. These guys, a lot of them were at one time on active duty in the U.S. military. Now, that experience that they have and that expertise is being solely used for the people of that state. Big time game changer, folks. Big time. And how does the unorganized militia, in other words, the average Joe Blow, the average John Doe, Bob Jones, Dave Smith, whatever generic name you want to use, the guys in your neighborhood, the guys in a three-square block neighborhood, the guys in a small city, in other words, the militia, the unorganized militia, how does that fall into this equation? How can that factor in now that one state has called up its state defense forces, and I think you're likely to see other states that have them are going to call up theirs? Do you wonder how the militia is going to fall into this equation? We're going to take a little break, and when I get back, we're going to talk about it right here on the Signalis Show, Blog Talk Radio, New Colony Network. For all of those, the number is 646-478-3229, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes or so. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Signalis Show right on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Trials, Lord,
Okay, folks, we had a little technical difficulty there. Thank you for standing by. just one of the little, I don't know, little quirks that happens here on Block Talk Radio sometimes. Anyway, folks, in case you didn't, you was hearing that music, that was Elvis Presley and the American Trilogy. In my continuing effort to play music that the liberals and the Democrat Party absolutely hate, they hate Christian music, they hate patriotic music, so I don't want to disappoint them. I also want to say a special welcome to all of the ABC government agencies that might be listening to the show right now. That would be the FBI, the NSA, the IRS, and whatever the hell else they out there listening. Thank you for listening to the show. I said that after this break, I was going to tell you, how does the unorganized militia factor into all of this? Well, I'm going to tell you how it factors in. Just as a governor of a state that has its own state defense force, in other words, a state guard, just as they have the authority to call up their state defense forces, the governor of a state has in their authority to call up the militia, the unorganized militia in their state. And even further breaking it down, the sheriff of a county has in their his or her own authority to call up the militia in their county. That's how it factors in. Now, could I see Governor Abbott, under his authority, instructing and authorizing the sheriffs of all the counties in Texas to start mustering the unorganized militia in their counties? Not at this time, I can't. But understand, he has that authority as well. Now I'm sure you're starting to see how the militia can play into this. And remember now, the militia is not a roaming gang of thugs and hotheads. The unorganized militia actually has a code of conduct that's very much like the Uniform Code of Military Justice. There are do's and don'ts. There are consequences for not following the guidelines. Very strict guidelines. But the difference between the State Guard, which is a state-recognized entity supplied for and paid for by the state, the unorganized militia is not. That is paid for. The equipment that any militiaman has comes out of his or her own pocket. And once again, the unorganized militia is beyond the control of the federal government because they are sovereign to the states and the people. And the unorganized militia exists for one very big reason. The chief reason that the militia exists is to stand as a counter to a standing federal army or government that has become tyrannical. In other words, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. But when the government fears the people, you have something called liberty. Thomas Jefferson. There you go. When the founding fathers, the framers of the Constitution, when all of that happened back in the late 1700s, the U.S. military forces, in other words, the National Army, was apportioned at 1 in 100, i.e. 1% of the people, 1% of the population. The militia is many times that. And why is that so? That is because the militia is a counter to a standing army. Therefore, it must be larger, much larger, large enough to, if need be, strictly on the basis of manpower, was big enough to put down a rogue army unit or a federal government that has completely overstepped its authority. And let me remind everybody of something. People have rights. The government has enumerated power given to them by the people. Power that is revocable by the people. Please remember that. Only people have rights, God-given rights. The U.S. federal government does not have rights. It has enumerated powers that the people allow them to have. Now, if we don't like some of the power that the federal government has, we, the people, can change that. That is why the framers put into the Constitution Article 5, where the states can get together, call conventions, and amend the federal Constitution, especially when you can't get anybody in Washington, D.C. to get together on anything. At present, we have the most political, partisan president in the history of the United States sitting in the Oval Office. He doesn't care about anyone or anything. The truth be known, he doesn't even give a damn about the Democrat Party. The only thing this man concerns with is his own socialist radical ideology. Write down the Saul Alinsky playbook, step for step. What he hasn't counted on was the intelligence and determination of the American people. That's what he didn't count on, and I can guarantee you, the Department of Defense and the Obama administration did not expect for a governor to take a step like Governor Abbott has in Texas. So now Guard involved in this. They didn't expect that player to come off the bench. Look at it kind of like a ball game. You've assembled the players. You put out a bulletin and a program saying this is the players on this side, and this is the players on the other side. Well, guess what? Now a new point guard just came into the game. Now a new linebacker just came into the game. Now a new goalkeeper just came into the game. It's going to throw a serious wrinkle into Jade Helm now. Now, if the Army is doing what they say they're doing and that this is just a training exercise, they shouldn't have a problem. But if there's some ulterior motive to Jade Helm, then they are going to have a problem. Because now they're going to have people bird-dogging them that is just as heavily equipped and armed as they are. Not to mention the fact that militia units, which most militia units are local and independent, they form alliances with other militia units around that state, which they should, because you can't have a bunch of loose cannons going around. There has to be some unity. But now it's very clear about the rights of the states. And Governor Abbott has just given everyone an example of the authority that governors have. He's called up his state defense force to monitor the U.S. military. In my opinion, he should go one step further. He can use his same authority under the Constitution of the state of Texas to authorize the muster of the unorganized militia in the state of Texas. Now, this is something that everybody needs to note concerning the militia. The militia is the whole of the people. Militias do not discriminate. The second that you discriminate against a person, you are no longer a militia, you're a private army, which is in point of fact illegal. The militia is the people. Now, the only caveat is that anyone with a felony conviction generally cannot be in any frontline unit, active unit in the unorganized militia. The reason why is because a felon legally owns a firearm. And a militia is an armed entity pursuant to the Second Amendment of the United States, which states a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Well-regulated means trained and educated. not people with a choke collar on them, like many of the Democrats and libtards seem to think. That is not what the Second Amendment says. And pursuant to Title 10 of the United States Code, Section 311, which delineates what the militia is, able-bodied men from the ages of 18 to 45, who are U.S. citizens or who have declared intent to become a citizen, are already in the militia. So it's not a matter of going out and joining the militia. You're already in it, whether you're man or woman, already in it. And that includes the kook left-wing liberals. Whether they like it or not, they are already players in the game. Now, the thought of handling a firearm, whether it's a pistol, a rifle, a shotgun, or whatever it is, that might just scare them silly. But the fact of the matter is that they're already in it. So now, Governor Abbott has called up the Texas State Guard. He also has in his authority to muster. When I say muster, I ain't talking about the yellow stuff you put on a hot dog. That's mustard. Muster, M-U-S-T-E-R. A muster means a gathering, an assembly, if you will. Much like you had in school where they said, we're having an assembly, everybody go to the auditorium. That's a muster. You're mustering the troops. Much the same as the colonists did during the Revolutionary War. And it should be noted something, folks. You hear the term the three percenters. 3%. That's 3 out of 100. In the Revolutionary War, only 3% of the colonists actually took up arms to fight the British. Just 3 out of 100. And we won. Could you imagine what would have happened if that would have been 10 or 12%? We would have crushed the British within months and sent them back across the Atlantic with their tail between their legs. Now, that right there should really raise an eyebrow to you and understand that the country is much more populous than it was in 1777. Now it's a country of 300 plus million. Entities like a state defense force and the militia are the primary reasons that this country has never been invaded by a foreign army. One of the great Japanese military leaders in World War II were asked, well, after Pearl Harbor, how come you didn't just press on to the west coast of the United States? How come you just didn't invade California and Oregon and Washington State? Why didn't you just go ahead and do it? Their response, are you crazy? In the United States, there is a gun behind every blade of grass. Which meant, that was their very eloquent way of saying, fighting the U.S. military is one thing. You know, 2 or 3 million, 4 million. But soon as you try to invade the mainland United States, you're going up against 40 or 50 million heavily armed people. And people that are going to defend their homeland with gusto. This is the same problem that our military special forces involved in Jade Helm are going to have if they decide to do what some people think they're going to do. That while they're doing this quote-unquote terrain exercises, that they're going to be given the green light to institute portions of Agenda 21 where they're going to go start rounding up dissidents and belligerent people, as they call them, i.e. anybody who dares to disagree with Barack Obama. Well, I'm just going to give my own personal perspective on this. If this president truly believes that people are going to just lay down and give up their guns, that people are just going to willfully lay down and submit, then he is the president of fantasy land. Now, we know he's narcissistic. We know he's egotistical. We know he's immature, and we know he's petulant. But now, this is going to a different level now. If he honestly believes going to submit to gross violations of their constitutional rights, then he has got a sad surprise coming to him. But worse off, the guys that are out there to actually try to execute Jade Helm, they're the ones that are going to be facing the fire, not him. He's safe at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or wherever the hell else the Secret Service puts him in the helicopter and flies him to. It's the guy on the ground, that Green Beret, that Recon Marine, that Navy SEAL, that Army Delta guy, that Air Force Pararescue guy. They're the ones that are going to be facing the lion's teeth, not him. He's not leading by example. He's leading from behind. So now, we're back to the same thing. If this truly is just an exercise, then they don't have anything to worry about. If they truly are just out there to train in various terrain to be able to more effectively operate in other parts of the world, God bless them. Do it. They shouldn't have a problem with a state defense force bird-dogging them and watching what they're doing. But if they're out there for an ulterior motive, now that's where they're going to play hell. Now that's where their butts are going to be in a crack. Because if I know that in militia units and state defense forces that there are actual ex-combat veterans in those units, then the federal government is bound to know that. And now these local militia units, as well as these state guards, are going to be the beneficiaries of that knowledge and experience and expertise. Now, instead of a bunch of guys that likes to put on camo and go out there and try to train and maintain some semblance of order with whatever weapons they might be carrying, ARs, shotguns, rifles, whatever it is, now they're actually going to have people in their units that have actually been in the combat zone, that have actually been in an armed conflict. And now that expertise is going to be passed on to the guy being in the military for whatever reason. And that's another point that I want to bring up to you. The militia doesn't have strict criteria for that like the military does. Why? Because the militia is the people. You could be deaf in one ear and be in the militia. Military? No. You could have diminished vision in one eye and still be in the militia. U.S. military? No. You could have a curvature of the spine and be in the militia. U.S. military? No. You could have asthma or diabetes and be in the militia. U.S. military? No. Now you're starting to see the difference, aren't you, folks? By the way, folks, this is the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the New Colony Network. The number is 646-478-3229. My caller from the 323 there, I see you on the board. You've been in there almost the whole show there. I thank you for being in there. The caller from the 804, I'm not sure where that area code is, but you've been in the whole show, and I do very much appreciate you being in the show and listening. Please tell your family and friends about it. And my caller from the 818 there, I see you in the queue there. Thank you for being on the show. I really do appreciate that. In fact, I recognize that. That's somebody that I see all the time. So I hope you're enjoying the show, and I hope I've explained this to you about this new wrinkle with Jade Helm, because it's important. Now, I told you that I was going to tell you that there are 21 states that have active defense force. As soon as I can pull up that information, I'm going to pull it up, and I'm going to tell you who it is that has them, the active state defense forces. And some of this is going to shock you, states that you wouldn't think had it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting for you, because I'm sure this is going to lift some eyebrows to you. It's going to be interesting for you. So now, can you ask yourself now, you're just going to ask yourself this question. Since Governor Abbott has called up his state defense force, if you live in a state that's got an active participating state defense force, would you support your governor calling it up, especially if you're in one of them states that are involved in Jade Helm? I mean, could you, you know, you got to ask yourself that question. Hang on, folks. Computer's just a little bit slow here today. I'll be pulling that up for you. Right, pretty prompt, though, here. Okay. And just one second. Bear with me, folks. I'm gonna be giving you that information. Okay, folks, here we go. Now, some states have state defense forces that are primarily infantry army. Some states have a naval component to it, and some states have both. Okay, Texas, California, Alaska, Ohio, Virginia, and the state of New York have active participating state defense forces as army units. The state of Washington, Oregon, New Mexico, Missouri, Louisiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Indiana, Michigan, Maryland, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Vermont have active state defense forces. The state of Illinois and New Jersey have a naval component to it. But it should be noted that California, Texas, Alaska, Ohio, Virginia, and New York have both a naval and a infantry component to it. So that should raise your eyebrows right there. This is not unique to the state of Texas. And the state of Oklahoma has a state defense force, but it is inactive. But that could be reactivated with the stroke of a pen. So now, that right there should, raise your eyebrows there. So this is not unique to the state of Texas. But now, with Jade Helm, you can see now how all of this is starting to come together. And now you can see how the injection of a state defense force and, if need be, and in my considered opinion, should be, the militia being summoned and mustered in response. Because you can't wait to the last minute to do something. You really can't. So now, for all of us out here on the West Coast, the state of California, if you'll look at the map of Jade Helm, you'll see that the counties of San Diego, Imperial, and Riverside are listed as insurgent areas, hostile. Now it has come to my attention, with my involvement with militia units, that that line has been extended northward to include Orange County, San Bernardino County, Los Angeles County. So now you can see the breadth and scope of Jade Helm 15 just within our own state. Now can you imagine an entire state, a state the size of Texas, mind you, where the entire state is listed as hostile territory to the U.S. military and the federal government? I don't think somebody in the Pentagon thought this all the way through. Texas is a big state. Texas has a state defense force, which is active, and now it has been called up by the governor. Moreover, since Texas is such a big state and such a populous state, and since it is a former Confederate state, and since there are a number of independent, unorganized militia units in the state, did it ever occur to them that these people are not just going to take this land down, that they're going to respond to what appears to be a gross overreach of federal authority? And as I've said on my shows many times, the one thing that career politicians in Washington, especially Democrats, and especially Barack Obama, that one thing that they really hate about the Constitution is that most of the Constitution limits and tells the federal government what it cannot do. Let me say it again. The Constitution is actually a limiter of the federal government, not an enhancer. And they don't like that. My response to that is, tough titty. The Constitution of the United States is the law of the United States. Contrary to the belief of Barack Obama and the rest of the Democrat Party, especially the far left wing of the Democrat Party, and I'm even going to address this remark to some of the rhino Republicans there too, because some of them like just, they like big government like the Democrats do. The Constitution actually limits the power of the federal government. That's right. It limits the power of the federal government. And everything else is sovereign to the states and the people. Because once again, folks, remember, we are the government. And in the end, we are the final arbiters of what goes and doesn't go. We are the ones that say yay, nay. And the way we say yay or nay is with something called our vote. They don't do what we want. They don't represent us adequately. They lose their job. So now, to all the career politicians up in Washington, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, understand this. Now, a lot of the people in this country are awake. We're pissed off, we're angry, we're dissatisfied, we're frustrated. And guess who we're going to take it out on? We're going to take it out on you, D.C., because you're the ones that are elected to try to solve these problems, but you're not doing it. And with the problems that we got in this country right now, with racial tensions, trade tensions, foreign affairs tensions, and now you guys want to throw something like Jade Helm into it. You want to be so provocative as to have this unprecedented, massive special forces military exercise that goes coast to coast. And did you think that just because you put out a press statement and a public statement about Jade Helm that everybody was just going to gloss over it? Nice try. Let me know when Elvis gets here. Because if you thought that that was going to pacify everybody, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you. But now, Governor Abbott of Texas has ordered up his state guard. And now I would invite the governors of the states that I just mentioned who have active state defense forces, whether they're Army, Naval, or both, to do the same thing. Send Washington a very clear, unequivocal message. You are not going to mess with our rights under the Constitution. You are not going to be trying to usurp our Second Amendment rights and our Fourth Amendment rights, which protects us against unreasonable search and seizure. Did the government of the United States and whoever the hell else that came up with Jade Helm, did they honestly believe that the American people were just going to just lay down and willfully submit? Did they think that we don't have the ability to find out things on our own? Say, for example, the fact that there are UN troops on U.S. soil right now, specifically Russian and Polish. Did they think we weren't going to find out about that? Did they think these people wouldn't be noticed? Even if you did put them in American clothes, even if they are wearing T-shirts and Levi's, you don't think these people are going to stick out like a sore thumb? Because all they got to do is open their mouth and talk. You know, the American people are a lot smarter and a lot more ingenious than the federal government thinks. Because you got to remember, folks, how this country came into being. A bunch of ragtag, poor colonists that finally got fed up with a tyrant. They finally got fed up with this crap. And that's the point that we're getting to in the United States right now as we speak. We have a president and an administration that has such a gross disregard for our Constitution and our constitutional rights that now he is forcing the people's hand. And if he forces it too much, he's going to wish the hell he didn't, because he will be finished as a president, if not already. So now, that's basically what I've got on Jade Helm for this week. Governor Abbott calls up the Texas State Defense Force. I've explained to you what a State Defense Force is and how the unorganized militia plays into that. But there's something that you need to know about unorganized militia, and this is very important for you to understand this. Militia units are local and independent. Their leaders are usually elected from their membership. And by the way, when I say membership, I'm talking about the people that are actually participating in it. But you don't have to join the unorganized militia because you're already in it. All you have to do is start being active. That's all that's required of you. You don't necessarily have to own a firearm to be in the militia, because there are a lot of functions for militiamen. It's not just the guys that are carrying the weapons. There are support units, i.e., Category 6 of the hierarchy of the classes of the militia, which is the reserve militia. This would be older folks, younger children, women, the elderly, and in this case, a lot of those people that will be included in that will be people with felonies on their record. There are a lot of functions in the militia. People manning the phones, calling people to get the word out. People helping to stockpile food supplies, water. People helping to organize communities, going around letting everybody know what's going on. There are a lot of different functions in the militia that are just as important as the guys that are carrying the guns. I.e., the militia is the people, the whole of the people. That is who the militia is. And that is the one thing, along with our Second Amendment to the Constitution and our right to keep and bear arms, that not only protects us against invasion from somewhere else, that not only protects us from insurrection that happens from within, but it also protects us from our own government that decides it's going to try to usurp our constitutional and God-given rights. That is also part of the checks and balances, in my honest opinion. Not just the separate but equal powers of government, but that is a huge counterbalance to the federal government that decides it's going to step on our Constitution and try to usurp our constitutional rights. Please keep that in mind, folks. The word militia, it's not a dirty word. It should be a word that you should embrace. There's a lot of different things that you can read on the internet about how to form a militia unit. They're local and they're independent. Just because you're a militia unit does not mean that you're a private army, because militias do not discriminate on race, creed, gender, ethnicity. You can't discriminate, because the militia, the people. And as a matter of fact, most militia units are no more than 100 or 200 people. They're local, they're independent. Now, they can align themselves with other militia units that are in their general area, that are contiguous to them. That's great. The more unity you have, the more cohesion, the more coordination you have, the more effective you're going to be. And the more trouble you're going to give to any federal entity that decides it's going to go rogue and try to step on your rights under the Constitution. Not going to happen, Barry. I'm telling you right now. If that's your intent, you have got a sad surprise coming to you. Because when the truth be known and it gets right down to the brass tacks of the matter, I can guarantee you, there are a lot of people who voted for you, maybe even twice, but they are going to be vehemently opposed to you if you try to step on their constitutional rights and our God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To all my callers that called in from the 323, the 804, and the 818, I want to thank you so much for calling in. Please tell your friends and family about the show. My guest, number 3071, it's been in there the whole show. I want to thank him or her for being in the show and listening to the show. I hope it. Hope you learned something today. I hope it was very interesting to you. Just try to present this in a clear, concise way from the standpoint of a blue-collar guy. I'm just a regular working man just like all of you. I'm an American just like you. I do this free of charge. I do not get paid for doing this. I feel it's my privilege to get on an internet radio station and speak to my fellow Americans about the things that matter the most. As far as Jade Helm is concerned, it's probably already underway. But they're saying July 15th through September 15th. Folks, be on your guard. Be cognizant of your area, your neighborhood, your town. Because you pretty much know who belongs there and who doesn't belong there. Because understand, with Jade Helm, there are going to be U.S. Army commandos, special forces people, in plain clothes, driving the same kind of cars that we do, amongst us, to try to see how much intel they can get from us and how well they can interact with us. If you spot them, don't set off an alarm. Don't telegraph it. Just watch them. Make sure your neighbors and everybody else that needs to know that they're there. Watch them. Be vigilant. I gave the analogy a couple of shows ago. In fact, I did it with my friend Wolfpack on Haywire Gulch one time. Two kinds of dogs. One that sits there and barks at you all the time. Hey, look at me. I got big teeth. I can bark. I'm a dog. Okay, fine. Very good for you. Then you got the one that sits there, nonchalant, inconspicuous. He looks, he listens, he watches, he's vigilant. Most of the time you don't know he's there until after he's already bit you. That's because you stepped over the line. Don't be the barking dog. Be the one that sits, that watches, that's vigilant. But that's prepared to act on a moment's notice once you see that a line has been crossed. Once the line in the sand has been crossed, then you act. Militias are defensive entities unless fired upon first. The militia is not a band of thugs. It's not a bunch of loose cannons. It's not a bunch of hotheads. The militia is the people there for the expressed defense of the people and the nation and our Constitution. Folks, oh, and the caller from the 409 that just called in, I'm glad you called in. You called in toward the end of the show there, but we're glad to have you anyway. Just to recap for you that Governor Abbott of Texas has called up the Texas State Defense Force. And just look up State Defense Force on Wikipedia or any other reference site on the internet, and you'll see what I'm talking about, State Defense Forces, as it applies to 10 U.S.C. 109. And state defense forces are paid for solely and wholly by state governments. They are under the direct control of the governor of that state. So, anyway, folks, I'm glad. I hope that I have tied this together for you, how the state defense forces fit into the equation, and most importantly, how you, the people, as the militia, how you fit into the equation. Because remember, this is our home. This is our country. It does not belong to Barack Obama or any senator or any Congress, whether Republican or Democrat. This is our home. This is our country. And that Constitution was written for us, we, the people. Because we, the people, are the government. We are the country. In the end, we are the final arbiters of what goes and doesn't go. We are the ones that say yay, nay, to be seen how we're going to say yay and how we're going to say nay. In my heart of hearts, I know that we, the people, in the face, in the imminent face and danger of our constitutional and God-given rights being usurped by a president and an administration and willing participants thereof, when they go to try to step on our God-given and constitutional rights, I firmly believe that the American people, or at least there's enough of us that will respond, that they will see what a huge mistake it was to try to use an exercise like Jade Helm as a precursor and a ruse to try to enact total totalitarian military authority in the streets of America, and that they're going to try to go after our Second Amendment rights and our First Amendment rights and our Fourth Amendment rights. Not going to fly, Barry. I can tell you that right now. There's too many of us that are watching you. There are too many of us that know exactly who you are and what you're about. And there's also the people, all the other people in Washington that we're watching, Republican and Democrat. We're watching you too, especially you guys in the Senate. We're watching you like a hawk. You had better do the right thing because you're about to push the people past the point. Look at your history. What happens when Americans are pushed like that? They will respond. And before I go off the air tonight, there's one other thing. I don't want to sound like an evangelist because that's not my thing. But I want everyone else to consider this. When a nation turns away from God, don't expect good things to happen for you. But when you turn to God, then he will make you righteous again. Hundreds of years ago, we truly were a country founded on Judeo-Christian principle with great reverence to God and country. That's why we rose from a ragtag bunch of colonists to the preeminent world power, superpower, I dare say. But throughout history, you'll see that when countries turn away from their roots, when they turn away from their basic core values, good things are not going to happen for you. In fact, bad things are going to happen for you. So I just want to leave that for everyone's consideration. If you ain't right with the big man upstairs, you better get right with them real quick. It's just part of the American tradition and the right and privilege of being an American. Because we have to remember something, how fortunate we are to have been born an American. Some people in the world aren't that fortunate. We are. And as such, we need to return to the principles of our founding fathers and our Constitution, but mostly, above all things, we had better start paying homage and respect to that which allowed us to be great in the first place. And that is the Lord God Almighty. Folks, on that note, I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank you for listening to the show. I'll be back on next Tuesday. Please tune in. Please tell your friends and family about the show. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at thesignalishow, all lowercase letters run together, thesignalishow@gmail.com. I answer all my emails myself. So I want to thank once again my caller from the 323, the 804, the 818, and the caller from the 409. For calling in and listening to the show. Please tell your friends and family about it. I was glad to have you with me. It was my honor and privilege to talk to you this week. So, folks, until next Tuesday, God bless our Constitution, God bless you, and God bless America. We'll see you next Tuesday, okay?